we are going again.
We're back.
We're back, exactly. And now I'm going to click on that so that I can go find the dang thing.
We're back.
We are back. So anyway, I'm going to send these links around a little bit, but go ahead. And we were talking about these different places that we could find, different places we would look to find this kind of stuff at. Oh, shit.
Yeah, sure. And, I'll just waffle on a bit while you're posting links and stuff.
Yep. I'm praying to God we don't act all choppy.
Hopefully we're not choppy, people. Are we choppy?
Hey, we're here. Some people are saying
much, much better. So Ruby, I couldn't see the chat before, but now I can see it. Hi, everybody.
We're still a little bit choppy, but oh dear, yeah, that's what. Yeah, exactly.
Oh no,
crap. But well, I don't know. What
to sounds say. Worse.
Sounds worse. Oh fuck. Oh no, don't worry about Mandy's. Mandy's a troll. Fuck Mandy. God damn it, I don't know what the deal is. Fuck. Because, yeah, I mean, my internet shouldn't be giving me this kind of shit.
Yeah, mine's full bars and everything. Who knows?
Yeah, maybe mine's full bars too.
Big archaeology trying to take us down.
Big archaeology trying to take us down. God damn it. Oh, fuck. Well, looking like coming in a little better at right now, a little bit, it looks like. We'll see. Yeah, we're just gonna keep rolling with it, Mike, and fingers crossed. Is it okay if I call you Mike, or do you go by Michael? Or okay, all right. Well, anything, what did you think about? Oh, sorry, thanks, Darth. She's like, are you two favorite channels to watch? Congrats on the great interview on JRE. Yeah, that was a good interview, too. I thought he was just going to tell me to upgrade my internet, but I was like, damn, man, I already got the pro plan. I don't know what else to do. I live in Spokane, doing the best I can. Turn a little more to the left. Damn it, Tim. I actually reached for my computer for a second. All right. But I think that I like to say it now compared to the Clovis culture. The Clovis culture stretched from sea to shining sea over here, but they certainly didn't all worship the same gods. They're called, you know, call themselves the same people or speak the same language. They just had a similar toolkit, so we call them all the same people. And I think that, you know, if you go 12,000 years into the future and people were looking back at us now, they would just call it the electronics culture. And that would be us and the North Koreans and the French and all of it. You know, we'd all get lumped together. Here is to help us better. I very much appreciate it, Darth. Thank you. I don't really know how to fix it, Corey. I appreciate that, but there really is no way I can fix this. Sadly, I've done the best I can. Knox, good call. What are we looking at here? I already reset once, man. I don't know what else I could do. So, who built the pyramids? That's a good question. Who do you think about that, Mike?
Just to start with a nice, easy one. Yeah, who built
the pyramids? An easy one, sure.
I have no idea who built the pyramids. I feel like it's very open to debate who it could have been. I mean, could have been the Egyptians, but maybe it was them older. Maybe it was something else. Like, I always think with them, like they're made of stone, right? And stone is this thing that can survive for so long. One of the only things that can survive like right up to like 100,000 years and more. So that kind of says to me that all bets are off in a way. But I don't know. I mean, I think the Egyptians definitely did a big kind of building project around the time of the kind of traditional date when they were to be built. So around 2500 BC. I don't know if that's when they were originally built. It seems to me a bit odd because they didn't, you know, leave any record of the fact that they built them or claimed to build them anywhere, really. So that's always seemed to be a bit odd to me. But I don't know who built the pyramids. Maybe it was aliens, who knows, but open to the possibility that it could have been, you know, much older than the conventional timeline would suggest. And definitely using some kind of technology that we don't traditionally attribute to the ancient Egyptians, because it just doesn't make any sense. I'm getting distracted by these comments.
I know, I'm trying to find the bitrate controls on this. I see the show resolution stuff, but I can't find the damn way to just a bit rate. I'm like, I'm gonna have to Google and watch a fucking YouTube video tutorial here. Help my old ass figure this out. But that is a big question, because there's a lot of things with the pyramids that do seem the orientation and stuff towards certain stars at certain times, right? Like, that is weird. And when you put it together with the Sphinx and stuff, it does kind of point to a different time. We're not rating your books, guys. Jesus Christ. This is...
At least they're getting like an inside look into the world of live streaming YouTube.
Definitely a peek behind the curtain. I am going to, I'll see if there's one of those pyramid anomalies off Cuba. You're aware of those, aren't you? The pyramids off the coast of Cuba?
Yeah, sort of. I've seen it. I haven't really looked into it, but they definitely look like some kind of structure. And I mean, I don't really know what they're supposed to be. I guess they kind of explain it away as some kind of natural phenomenon, but I've never really looked into it in too much detail. I know that you did a video about it. I watched that, but I can't say I really remember exactly what was your conclusions. But it's definitely an odd thing, and it kind of links into all these other odd underwater structures around the world. Like, you could talk about the Yonaguni Monument or the Bimini Road and loads of other things, and it just all kind of plays into this idea of sea level rise and how much potentially we could have lost along our coasts because of how much the level of the sea has fluctuated, especially towards the end of the last ice age when we were talking the Younger Dryas, all that kind of thing. So I mean, I don't know too much about the ones of Peru, but they definitely look interesting. You see those images, and it does kind of look like a man-made layout and man-made structures. And if it was the case, I mean, that would change everything, because that would mean they would have to be super old, way older than civilization is supposed to be in the Americas or anywhere. What's the chat saying? Are we still bitty? I can't even tell.
I lowered my a little bit. Check if you could, like, check your camera settings is what you have to do. Like, if you click the camera button, or if you just click that, and then it'll have like a place where you can check your resolution. If you just lower it as much as you can, hopefully that'll help at least with the audio, so they can still hear us.
I'll go down to the lowest one.
Sorry, it will look like Nintendo 64 days. Yeah, buddy. Retro. Awesome. Thanks. Appreciate it. All right. Sounds worse. Yeah, Mandy, we know. We know. Stop crying. That's what Mandy always posts on, like, everything that I post. Mandy's like, I'm glad that she found something else to post. Sounds worse is now the second two-word sentence to troll. But I let her run around. I she needs to feel important in life. So here she is. But no, I guess it's pretty wild how we have all these different places around the world that do end up being, you know. I was just watching North O2, one of his videos is about the copper mining and smelting culture in the Americas from like 10,000 years ago. And like, these guys were doing this shit like long before they were in Europe. And big ass copper swords and shit they were running around with long ass time ago.
Yeah, super confusing. I mean, I don't know too much about them either, but then you look at the mass use of copper in the kind of Mediterranean around that time, and you think, where's the copper coming from? Could it potentially have been some kind of link to North America that we don't quite appreciate? And
that's all right. Some people are going to say that it's fine.
I don't know too much about that. I need to watch that guy's video. He kind of linked me in it and said, check this out. So I said I would, and I do want to watch it because it is an intriguing thing. I think Archaic Lens talks about that a lot, and as does Eric from Ancient Epoch. He's written a kind of whole article about the copper culture in North America, and it's definitely a mystery. And where did all the copper go? And why? How did Europe get so much copper? It all seems to be a bit weird. I think I kind of want to do a video about it at some point, but yeah, I haven't really looked into it yet.
To me, it's one of those things that gets really interesting, because the whole point of a lot of what we talk about in the alternate history space is how things aren't really linear. And a mainstream historian will be quick to say, of course, things aren't linear. But then when push comes to shove, they end up trying to push these narratives about things just kind of like working this kind of a generally speaking upwards direction. And when we look around the world, they end up quite frequently believing things that don't make any sense. I mean, this culture 10,000 years ago working in mining copper, that's you know, it's absurd when you think about it. This is the kind of thing we just now hear about. It was the same thing when I did my recent video on Moses, the potential writings of Moses. It's like, here's this place in the Sinai Peninsula that they know was worked by Semitic slaves, and I've never heard about this during the time Moses was supposed to have been. I mean, this kind of backs up some of the Exodus narrative. And it's like, I've never heard about this till now. It's just the kind of thing that, and it's mainstream. It's not like some alternate history woo belief, but it's just weird to me. It seems like the important stuff just kind of gets ignored.
Yeah, it's very odd. It's very, very odd. And yeah, the whole idea that there could have been like some kind of, you know, advanced copper smelting culture in North America way back then just defies everything we were ever taught about North America. I mean, that's not too far off where they used to have us first arriving there, you know, with Clovis and stuff. So if that is this completely opposite, like, idea of what humans would have been doing in the Americas at that time, if they were actually, you know, I guess that would make them the first, like, copper or metal, but exactly. So it would really throw everything off. And again, I haven't looked into it, but I need to check that out because it sounds pretty interesting.
And that's the kind of stuff where it's like, to me it seems a lot more likely that inventions like that, or a bow and arrow and stuff, it seems a lot more likely that these did travel the world. Like, you know, there's a lot that goes into these things, and it's why you don't see it in Australia. It's like, this for whatever reason Australia just kind of got ignored. Man, this is frustrating. I'm sorry guys, I'm doing the best I can. The damn internet is fighting me every step of the way. Love you both. Curious what single currently known site you would say is the best smoking gun of an advanced ancient civ, and specifically mainstream archaeology could look to it better. You want to start with that one, Michael?
Well, I mean, the obvious answer is Göbekli Tepe, isn't it? I mean, smoking gun, that is by far the biggest smoking gun. It's just an obvious example that civilization goes back further than we're taught. It's more complex than we thought, or it existed so much earlier than the traditional timeline suggests. And obviously everyone's going to know about Göbekli Tepe on the stream, but yeah, it's crazy. I think the other part of that question was like, what could archaeology do more? Well, excavate it would be the obvious answer to that one. I think it's you know, it's a bit of a special case in terms of, because I mean, they argue that, you know, that Stanley can leave it for future generations, and like, fair enough if that's just some random site you've got, you know, in the kind of contemporary Bronze Age or something like that. But for the Göbekli Tepe, I would argue it's such a pivotal, you know, site for our understanding of human civilization and the development of civilization and our history as a whole, that I would very much argue that it, you know, it should get special treatment, and people should, you know, be more open to excavating it because of, why is my stream up? But yeah, I mean, yeah, it's definitely, it deserves, you know, more, excavation for sure. It's definitely a special case, and that stone type artifact there that just completely blew open everything about Göbekli Tepe, about the Taj Tepe culture, and thus about the whole of the origins of civilization. That would be an incredible find. That would change everything that we think we know about history, but we're never going to find that if we don't do any more excavation. And it's quite sad really that nothing's happened in like 20 years since they kind of excavated that first bit. So that's kind of sad, but
yeah, it's really sad. It's like you said about the Rosetta Stone type of thing, that's, we've got all kinds of iconography there that's different but similar to each other, and it's like it could be some proto language there, or maybe even some hieroglyphic type of thing. It's crazy when you think about it that you would think that linguists would be pushing for this, because every pillar having all these different kinds of weird engravings and inscriptions, you would think that like they would want access to as many of these symbols as they could. But instead, you know, we get 5% in a fucking cover, so to keep the rain out.
Yeah, I mean, it could, like, as you say, if they uncovered more and more of it, it could turn out to be some kind of script, because there's so many intricate I mean, they clearly meant something, and just because we can't understand what they mean doesn't mean that, you know, they're just meaningless symbols of animals or whatever. Like, they clearly had some meaning behind them, and to uncover as much as possible would help you understand what that meaning was and if it potentially is some kind of language. And then again, that kind of discovery would change everything we think we know about the origins of civilization, about history, about our story. So it is very frustrating that nothing seems to be happening there. And well, hopefully that will change, and maybe it will, but you know, we're gonna have to keep banging that drum as hard as possible. I think
I have to agree with that. Here's one from Darth Scorpio again. It wouldn't surprise me if sometime in the future we definitely find evidence for another species other than Homo sapiens or the first to develop civilization. That's an interesting perspective. That's a little Silurian hypothesis, if you heard that one before.
Yeah, I know about that. I mean, I don't know if Darth Scorpio means another kind of human species like Neanderthals or Heidelbergensis, or, you know, a Silurian hypothesis type thing like millions of years ago, some kind of earlier inhabitant of the planet. I would say both are possible, but again, how are we ever going to know? That's kind of the problem. But I always, you know, think about the Silurian hypothesis, and I kind of co-opted that a little bit in some of my videos about, you know, what if we're not the first civilization? What if a civilization emerged on the planet, you know, 200,000 years ago, 100,000 years ago? Would we even be able to tell? And as far as I can tell, most modern materials would decay in that huge levels of time span. In terms of the idea of other kind of human species developing civilization, I would argue some were definitely, you know, at least getting close to us in terms of our level of intelligence, especially Neanderthals. So, I mean, why not? I think they probably did quite sophisticated stuff. I mean, we know they did quite sophisticated stuff. So why couldn't they have had, you know, sedentary living? Why couldn't they have had some kind of culture? Why couldn't they have built structures? Why couldn't they have lived in some form of society that, you know, maybe isn't the rigid Mesopotamia definition of civilization, but I mean, so, yeah, it's possible.
Yeah, no, I definitely agree with that. It's interesting because when I first saw, like the Silurian hypothesis is fairly old, right? And so somebody's talking about it, and they, like the early days of it, they determined that nuclear power, that would be the one thing that would leave a record we could find a million years, 10 million years. And then they start finding like evidence of like nuclear fusion happening on the earth millions of years ago. And they're like, oh, hang on a second. Now there might be a reason that happened without any, it's funny to me how the can just gets kicked down the road consistently.
Yeah. Because you're never, it's almost impossible to ever find anything that would be definitive proof. So they can always just keep kicking the can down the road, and anything can be explained away unless it's an absolute. I mean, even Göbekli Tepe can be explained away. So, I mean, which makes me think, what's even the point? You know, I might as well give up. No, but no, we'll keep fighting. We'll keep fighting for our past.
No, we have another one. Inamitapal, I have a professional interdisciplinary paper on all of this that AI can't fault. I just need to be able to send it to one of you. My email's dedunkingthepast@gmail. Go ahead and send it that way if you want. I can't guarantee that I will get to it right away. You can ask Nick, who is the next super chat. He sent me an email that I've looked at. I clicked on it and I looked at it, and then I pinned it to my folder so I don't fucking forget about it because I'm a little bit busy. But he asked, Nick says, to add to your point on the Green Sahara and lost Egyptian civilization, what are your takes on the Hawara Labyrinth scans and the Giza scans, Trevor Grassi research team and the Italian team?
So I guess this is the kind of pyramid scan project, isn't it?
Yes.
Again, I mean, I'm a little bit suspicious when these big claims are made with like brand new technology, because I mean, it's such an incredible claim that if it was true, it would just be completely, you know, that would change everything. It would be completely mind-bending and would just shift our whole perspective. So I'm a little bit suspicious when they make these big. If it was true, and I'm not ruling out that it's true, they seem to be like actual scientists that have done actual work, written an actual paper, presented it in quite a professional way. So you never know, and I'll watch it with interest. I'm not sure if that's the same thing as the Hawara Labyrinth scans, but maybe that is. I know that Ben from Uncharted X just did a video on that, which I haven't watched yet, which looks super interesting. But yeah, that's kind of my view on the Pyramid Scan project. Is like, has potential, looks interesting, but I'm not going to jump to any kind of conclusions back in it until I see better data, I guess.
That's fair. The like when I dug into the SAR scan technology, it you know, using AI does seem like the next logical place to take it. That does seem accurate. But it, or you know, like reasonable, but at the same time, it's like Christopher Dunn put it, it's like, this is too good to be true. This is just too much of exactly what I want. And it's like, yeah, it is almost like exactly what you want. And then as Jimmy Corsetti was the first I heard point out, the water table was an issue as well. But at the same time, I mean, you know, let's put it this way. There's no reason to dismiss this kind of technology just because the claims with it are outlandish. It's the early days of AI. Like, for example, when you look at the first big thing they mentioned with the pyramids was there's five king's chambers that they found inside of it, right? To me, that's more likely that got on the early AI art, right? It's just, to me, the same kind of thing where it's just glitching. But I do think they're onto something there. I do think they're, you know, if they're just blowing smoke, that they would, it's not going to be long before they're found out. So it's, to me, it was like a very, with these guys, I mean, like, I forget, I think it's Armando's, it's been like 20 years that he's been doing SAR, that he's worked just in SAR. So it's like, he's not like some nobody, he's not some slouch.
Yeah, I don't think they're bullshitting. I think they're serious people and serious scientists, and it's definitely got potential, but it's just such a big claim. But yeah, I mean, I'd love it if it was true. And there's clearly a lot of mysteries regarding, you know, Giza and what could potentially be beneath Giza. There's always been, you know, ancient sources and sources all the way through kind of writing about the labyrinth beneath Giza and all these things beneath the pyramids. So there's clearly something there, and it will be very illuminating to find out what that is. So I watch it with interest, for sure.
Sorry, Diggy, we had technical difficulties. I can't. I mean, I already kicked my kid off of Fortnite or whatever the hell he was playing. So he'd be mad as fuck that I said it was Fortnite. God damn it, Dad! I'm not 10. But I'm doing the best that I can. And thanks for yelling at everybody, Tammy, so that I can focus on us glitching out and having a conversation. But yeah, when it comes to the places to me to look for like smoking gun for lost civilization, I actually think Easter Island is a pretty good place to check. Just there's a lot of little anomalies about it, and I think one of them that I think it's overlooked a lot is it's got a world naval, like the little Axis Mundi, but it's at a far-flung corner of the Polynesian world. It's not like every other Axis Mundi is always like in some like major cultural center. It's in Jerusalem. It's in Delhi. It's in fucking Sacsayhuaman. But with the Polynesians, it's like off of this island that you can't really find. I mean, it gets isolated, I would assume, repeatedly. And then you look at the history of the place and their myth of how they settled it. It was like they were looking for this place. They found it, and then the guys that found it went back and told the king, and then they went on this like expedition to get all the shit ready to go settle it. It was like all a big to do, almost like it was a sacred place, which would make sense. If you look at lower sea levels, it would be quite a bit more prominently. It would be a pretty damn big place if you look at lower sea levels, and it'd be a lot easier to reach. So, like you were saying earlier, I think looking all over the world is probably the best way to look for this stuff.
Yeah, for sure. And Easter Island is interesting to me because of the potential connection to South America. Like, could someone have got to South America earlier than we think? There's the whole mysterious Y signal that crops up in South America that's the same kind of DNA as Polynesians, Australasian kind of DNA. And then it's also the argument maybe someone went the other way from South America to Easter Island. There's the oddity of the fact that the Easter Island script is exactly the same as, well, not exactly the same, but has massive similarities with the Indus Valley civilization script, which is very odd and interesting, because obviously there's not supposed to be any connection there whatsoever, but they seem awfully similar. There's the thing that Graham, our Kate Lenz, always talks about, which is the, you know, the naval idols, and he has the Moai on East Island have the exact same kind of pose and fingers as the as many statues, but the, especially the one found in Kaidahan Tepe, which has the exact same kind of naval finger pointing style going on. So yeah, there's a lot of mysteries there. It's always intrigued me. Again, another one is the polygonal walls in Easter Island. It looks so similar to the ones in Ollantaytambo. And is this actually Huaman? Or there's another one in Peru, I think, that looked very similar to the ones on Easter Island. So
yes, actually Huaman.
Yeah. It's very intriguing. It's a very intriguing place, especially because it's so isolated. And like, if someone did reach there a long time ago, as in before the Polynesians, then they would have to have, you know, pretty sophisticated navigation skills and seafaring skills. And so yeah, it's an interesting place. Again, I don't know too much about it. I haven't been there or anything like that. But yeah, it's very interesting. I love it.
Yeah, me too. I haven't been there either, but I would very much like to go. It's one of the places where you like, no matter what's going on in the world, you're probably safe visiting Easter Island.
Yeah.
Unless you're a drug addict, in which case you're probably going to have a hard time on Easter Island. I don't think there's many people that take anything there besides basic food stuff. So that's like, I was looking at the population and the, like the infrastructure and stuff in the modern day. It's just like, my fucking God, this is like a little small town.
Yeah, it's tiny.
But it's like out in the middle of nowhere. Oh, yeah, that's a good point. The separating of science and spirituality like we do, they certainly didn't. In my opinion, the ancients didn't see things as like, here's magic and then here's like reality. To most people, it was just like, this is how things are. It's just, you know, you kill something, you steal its spirit or fucking whatever. However, whatever goofy-ass beliefs they had, you know, it's one of the things I like to talk about when people talk about morality being, I'll probably piss some people off in the chat with this, but whatever. Morality being, everybody's like, oh, I mean, morality is a stable thing. It's like, dude, there's islands in the Pacific where if you're, you know, in order for your ancestor to go on living, you have to consume them so that they like live through your body. So like the grandson who doesn't eat grandpa, who's not a cannibal, is a bad grandson. I mean, fuck. So like we have definitely some goofy ass spiritual beliefs in this planet, man. Who the fuck came up with that?
Yeah, for sure. And like the whole kind of materialism that we kind of live in today and the whole culture seems to be surrounded by or steered towards is quite a new thing, I think. It's quite a new phenomenon. I think everyone, kind of ancient cultures, all showed signs of being very in tune with the environment and with their kind of spiritual processes, and the spiritual leaders of the community seem to be the kind of knowledge keepers and the people of wisdom and the leaders almost. And that isn't really the case nowadays, for better and worse. Obviously, like we've like got a lot of progress in many different respects that you probably wouldn't achieve if we still all, you know, based our society around, you know, the traditional religions and things like that. But again, I think we've like lost quite a lot of stuff. And yeah, definitely something that ancient cultures had that we don't anymore. Then you get to the idea of psychedelics and how they intertwine psychedelics with a lot of what they were doing and what they were believing in and their cultures. And yeah, I feel like we've lost a lot. I think the kind of outlawing of psychedelics by Western governments is a tragic misstep that I hope gets rectified at some point, hopefully within my lifetime, but I don't know, because I feel like it's always been a very integral part of the human experience, is these kind of, you know, spiritual experiences and spiritual moments and community as well. So that is something we've definitely lost, and I feel like the ancients had, and we also don't really appreciate it because it doesn't really leave much of a record, but who knows what they were getting up to.
Oh yeah, yeah, that kind of stuff. When it comes to you know, like their connection with nature, they were certainly, you know, that you'd live closer to nature, you're going to be far more connected to it to begin with. But then that whole, that spiritual, I don't know how to put it. Like if you run around eating mushrooms all the damn time and you're running around in the woods while you're at doing it too, and this is the life that you live eventually, like I could very much imagine you developing that sense of like, we're just one big, and I mean, that's anybody's taking mushrooms gets that feeling at some point. We're just one big thing. Right. And so it is interesting to think about like what part, like I'm sure you've heard of the stoned ape theory by Terence McKenna, right?
Yeah, I love that shit. I think there could be easily something to that as well, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's the symbolic thought is definitely like where language comes from. And that, you know, that abstract symbolism is definitely something that you always see with hallucinogens.
Yeah, for sure. And the whole idea that, I mean, symbolic thought is clearly so crucial to us as a species and to our success, like as an evolutionary advantage, you know, our capability to think symbolically has allowed us to cooperate in massive, massive groups that just wouldn't be possible without that capability. And how did that come about? It doesn't really, there's no kind of explanation for how it came about or even when it came about. Obviously, everyone used to think it only came about recently, but anyone's watched my videos, they'll know that I dispute that quite heavily, and I'm always hating on that idea of the cognitive revolution. And I think that symbolic intelligence and behavioral modernity stretches back so much further into our history and probably isn't limited to our species of human as well. So the question of how that emerged is fascinating to me, and I have no idea how or why or how old it is, but I just think it's super old compared to this 50 to 60,000 years ago cognitive revolution argument. But the whole Terence McKenna idea that it could have been, you know, some kind of psychedelic mushroom that an early human just munched on, like a cow dung poo pat whatever or something, found a mushroom in that and ate it, and that you just tripped balls and all human symbolic thought kind of came out of that, it's a fun idea. Again, I don't know how you'd ever prove it, but you never know, because as I said, psychedelics and that kind of thing has had a huge influence on human culture throughout all of history. And you can imagine that. You can imagine a kind of dumb ape taking some kind of psychedelic substance and just his brain just expanding in so many different ways and all these colors and stuff and becoming a spiritual symbolic thinker. And it's a romantic idea. I like the theory, but
yeah,
I guess how do you prove it? Thing, you know?
Well, what's interesting too about that in my mind is that the ability to communicate with abstractly, like the one that a lot of times the like evolutionary linguists will talk about is the ability to make a promise. Like they think a lot of times it might have had to do with like reproductive exclusivity, and that promise was a way to was a funnel that made it a language selected for. But no matter how you slice it, it's interesting to me because you have like chimpanzees, the way that they communicate with the members of their tribe is by grooming them. They go pick the bugs off their back and pop their pimples or whatnot, and so they all take care of each other that way, and then they form alliances this way. But it limits the size of their tribe because the leader can't communicate with more than, you know, a handful of chimps. But a human can go stand on a rock and socially groom thousands of people by screaming out and talking to all of them. And so you end up with this ability for us to, like you say, to organize and do these things. We can organize into these massive groups because of that, instead of having to get all close and intimate with each other and touch each other, somebody can just say the words that give me the tingles, and then I'm going to follow them and do whatever, sacrifice my kid to a fucking Moloch or whatever the fuck that would insert cultural problem here. But
yeah, exactly, because we can believe in these like shared fictions, I guess, or myths, whatever you want to call it, like these abstract ideas that aren't actually real in the real world, but because we can collectively imagine and believe in the same kind of things, it's allowed us to cooperate in massive groups. And you see it today, like people are cooperating in groups of like millions and millions of people that don't know each other, but because we all believe in the same thing, like I don't know, like a country, for example, we all believe in the existence of the United States, even though you can't literally like grab the United States and touch it, because we all agree that it exists. It allows, you know, millions of people around the world or in the United States to collaborate together effectively, which no other animal can really do, especially no other primate. And that's just been a massive evolutionary advantage for us. So yeah, I think that's a fundamental, and I think that's quite an accepted like mainstream idea about how our intelligence emerged. But I think the argument has always been that only occurred like 50 to 60,000 years ago. And I just think that's total bullshit, to be honest with you. I think that's been around so much longer than that. I think there's solid evidence that's been around so much longer than that, at least to the very beginning of Homo sapiens, definitely in Neanderthal as well, and maybe even in Heidelbergensis, the ones that came before us. I think they show decent evidence of symbolic intelligence as well. So, yeah, I mean, who knows how far back it goes or where it came from or what it is.
Yeah. Hello, Raymond. Got to say hi to him real quick. Did you see Cave of Bones on Netflix by Lee Berger?
Oh, is that about the Home and a Lady thing?
Mm-hmm. That was
I haven't seen it. I know about Home and a Lady though, but that's like again, yeah, that's an evident. That's evidence of non-Homo sapien, arguably symbolic intelligence, with the wall scratchings and the burying of dead. Because why would you bury your dead if you don't believe in some kind of afterlife or spirituality? So, yeah, interesting.
Yeah, and even if it's even if they didn't have a belief, all it was I don't like the feeling of watching my family member's body getting eaten by vultures, so we're going to hide it in this fucking cave. They still, like, there was evidence of them having to use fire. Well, I mean, the fact that they navigated that cave says they had to have light, and unless they had some extremely good fucking night vision, you know. Which it's a cave, man. It ain't like you've got residual moonlight or anything. So it's pretty interesting stuff. To me, I think that it gets fascinating because immediately brains want to go get all Tolkien-esque or maybe Clan of the Cave Bear if you're older or weirder. But if you like watching Daryl Hannah run around topless, but who doesn't? But the way that people look at these different things or even biblical, where it's like we do have a time like recent in the past in human history where there were multiple species that were of similar intelligence, of similar appearance, and that were competitors running around. And, you know, if you look at how competitors treat each other in nature, they don't tend to be like they're not indifferent. We'll just put it that way. They're not indifferent.
Yeah. Yeah. Fighting and competing and everything, but also breeding, because you know we share DNA with Neanderthals and we clearly bred with them at some point. And whether that was like, you know, consensual breeding, that, I mean, I guess that's a different question. But I mean, there's some evidence that Homo sapiens and Neanderthals shared the same living space. So I mean, it's possible that at least in some rare cases we did actually, you know, cooperate and live together. And I think that's fascinating. And who knows what went on back then and what it was like to interact with different human species. And then you have the kind of hobbit humans and there's like these big primates that aren't human, obviously, but you never know. There could easily be giant humans, like, because you have the short ones, Homo floresiensis, or however you pronounce that. And then you've got the Meganthropus, which is like that huge ape primate. And yeah, I think if giant primates exist and hobbit for want of a better word humans exist, then why couldn't giant humans exist? And I've always found that as a fascinating possibility, because you know evolution allows for that. You have giant animals, that you have island gigantism, you have island dwarfism, which was what caused Homo floresiensis. So why can't you have giant humans? And yeah, I think that's an interesting possibility from prehistory. And then there's the question of the Denisovans as well, with that big dragon man skull that they found recently that, you know, suggest that maybe they were pretty big, which would be interesting if they, because there's also the jawbone and the molars, which are very big from the Denisovans. So, and we have so little of them. So I don't see why it's just completely thrown away that they might have been, you know, considerably larger than us. And if they were, then why couldn't that be the kind of birth of all these myths we find in all these different cultures of giants roaming the earth? And yeah, so I mean, I can't even remember where I started with this little spiel. No, but
you're all right. We're talking about different species. Yeah, Tammy brought up in the chat that, you know, like elephants and dolphins and stuff are intelligent. And that's true. It's, you know, like we've got, octopi are fucking smart as piss. Like there's you end up wondering, like, it seems weird. It's like there's different little funnels that they have to go through. The ability to manipulate tools is a huge one, right? You can be smart as hell, but in a body like a dolphin, man, that thing could be rocket scientist level of smart, but it's stuck using a mouth to manipulate tools with and lives in water where it can't harness fire. It's kind of fucked. It ain't getting anywhere. You know, it's never getting off this rock. But
yeah, exactly. And they haven't got... I mean, they just haven't got anything to manipulate, really, have they? Because it's just water and like, so we have this whole environment which has allowed us to do all these things. And I would say we've been doing it for a lot longer than people would say. But yeah, intelligence is definitely not unique to humans or to even primates. It's all over the animal kingdom, especially in the ocean. So that is interesting. And it makes you think, Yeah, it makes you think what else could have happened on this Earth over the millions and billions of years that multicellular life has been around. Because if intelligence isn't that, you know, unique of a thing to emerge, then that would kind of logically suggest that intelligence could have cropped up loads of different times over the kind of massive history of the Earth that we have. So who knows what was going on back in the olden times, millions of years ago. I would say that it's perfectly plausible that some other kind of intelligent species did flourish back then, and we would just never ever know. So it's fun to dream about, but
yeah, it's when we're talking about the different interactions between species, it's like it's interesting to think about, because you know as a human you can go walk up on a bunch of chimpanzees and they're not necessarily going to attack you out of hand, right? But if you're a male chimpanzee and you leave one tribe and you're like walking around and they get seen by another tribe, there is no variation. They're going to go stomp you into the mud. They're going to kill you. And so it's weird when you think about that. It's like when these early species were bumping into each other, it's like, man, if we bump into another tribe of Neanderthals, these Neanderthals are going to kill the shit out of them. But Cro-Magnons, hey, man, come over here. Let's talk for a little bit. I'm interested. What are you? And that's quite possible that we do see that happening now. So, but it's hard to say because, you know, the world's been, you know, since we've been doing things, shit got a lot different, right? I mean, there's a lot of the evolutionary funnels are a lot different. You look at places in the world where hyenas raid fucking towns to steal dogs and shit nowadays, like in places in Africa and in India have similar problems where wild animals just come into town, but that's how they eat now. They don't hunt. They just go steal chihuahuas and shit from the dumbass dogs. Word up, Dan, just supporting and saying hello. Well, thank you, Jeff Ma 21. I appreciate that very much. Dabs for health. Well, yeah, of course. But so, what got you started making videos? I got to ask you that. What got you off your butt to do it?
What got me off the butt? I don't know, man. To be fair, like I've been interested in, you know, this stuff for ages and ages and ages. And obviously, I did my degree in ancient history, but that was a little while ago. Now that ended in 2020 or 2019. Can't remember, just before COVID anyway, that's when that ended. And then obviously COVID happened and I wasn't really doing much at all. And then kind of came out of COVID and I started thinking, you know, these ideas are still in my head and I kept going in and out with it. You know, sometimes I was like, this is just stupid bullshit. Like, why am I even thinking about this? But it kept coming back. It was still lingering in the back of my brain, you know, and it came to a point when I was like, I'm actually really, you know, interested by this and I really find these possibilities, you know, plausible, more plausible than they're kind of appreciated to be by the, you know, quote unquote mainstream. So I was like, you know what, I reckon I could say some stuff about this because I have an academic background in ancient history. You know, I'm a guy that can make videos and I can, you know, talk. Everyone can talk, but you know what I mean? I was thinking, yeah, I could be someone that could contribute to this conversation. And I listened to your Rogan, Dan. I can't remember where it was. It was the one when you were on by yourself. When was that? That was
like about 6 months ago.
Yeah. I remember I had already started then, but I was still kind of just like flopping about with what I was doing. And I did like some videos about World War One and stuff. Like I wasn't like immediately diving into the you know, ancient civilizations kind of stuff. And I remember listening to that episode and I was like, fuck it, I'm going in on this shit. And yeah, so it's pretty crazy that I'm like now talking to you on this live and stuff and that I've now gone on Rogan and all that shit. It's been a wild rise. But yeah, I mean, that's kind of how I got started. But yeah, these ideas have been in my mind for ages. And I think I first got into the kind of alternative hypothesis during my university course. Didn't know about it beforehand. Kind of during the course, halfway through, I started to become aware of these things and started thinking differently about the timeline of human civilization and about our past. And yeah, ever since then, it's been in the back of my head and I finally decided to start making some videos about it. And I'm glad I did because it's been a lot of fun so far.
Yeah. You've made some impact and had a lot of success too. That's awesome. But yeah, that's crazy. I'm glad to have played a little bit of a role in changing over. That's great. Yeah, I appreciate you coming on to talk too. That's awesome. Because yeah, I know that after going on, Joe, I had a bunch of people lined up, and I'd talked to you about coming on before. Hell, before Sedona, even, I think I mentioned that I wanted to have you on, but I get busy, and then this kind of stuff happens where half your stream goes to shit, and it's like, that's a little discouraging. I'm going to have to change internet service again. First world.
I hope
problems.
It's not me. I'm pretty sure it's not me.
I don't think it's you. I think it. I would imagine since we restarted once, I would imagine it's probably on my end. But we'll see. I know that my son's not happy that he can't play not Fortnite. Sorry, Daniel. I talked about him, like him and his cell phone preferences when I was on Rogan, and somebody clipped that, and like 20 of his friends at school sent it to him. He's like, yeah, kind of. He's almost 17. He's like, he ain't like, this is cool, Dad. He's like, hey, fuck. Fuck off, Dad.
I don't know. I would think it's kind of a flex to have your dad on Rogan, though.
Maybe. Oh, like, well, it is. So, like, to his wrestling coaches, sure.
Then
it's also, you know, I mean, he gets picked on by his friends a little bit. Not too much, thankfully, because it's not. I do threaten him every now and again. I could start a meme channel. I could do like that Mr. Beast shit and fucking just be, let's check out the pyramids, guys. Just like, okay, Dad, no, fuck no. Okay.
Yeah, possibly not.
That's working good now. Still working good. This is great. Thanks, guys. I appreciate you letting me know that we're still doing it. Woohoo, yes. But yeah, you want another? Can you go another half hour or so?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, for sure.
Cool. Yeah, about another half hour. I've got to meet somebody. I'm doing a video on a local town here in Washington. And it's got one of the coolest elongated skulls ever, but was repatriated to the tribes like in the 60s. But this dude's got a very rare book from the Smithsonian Institute that details all this stuff. Local guy, and I'm meeting him and going to take some photographs of the book and whatnot, because it's one you just can't buy. But it's super cool because it's got like elongated skulls, and it's a Smithsonian thing. So yeah, I know the book's expensive. It's like all it needs is giants. If it had like one reference to giants, it'd probably be like $10,000 if it showed up for auction. But I bet you it's worth a few grand as it is. It's probably. But anyway, that book's gonna be that, or that video will be fun because there's a town here in Washington State that's got some goofy shit attached to it. Like from before, like Lewis and Clark talked about the area being goofy, and then the guys that built it were all Freemason goofy. And normally I'm pretty skeptical of that kind of stuff, but I'm also not stupid. You know, I don't have to know all of the symbols in the world to like recognize certain symbols, and you shove them down my throat. 33 streets is a good sign, for example. It's like, okay. But anyway, that one's going to be fun. The elongated skull thing is always cool to me because it's, you know, I did a video covering that, and I did mostly just talked about how the ones in Paracas are basically like they've been picked over. Like there was a dude that went, and one of the archaeologists that went through them. Oh, they come in these funeral bundles, right? They get these burlap bags full of like a dead body. And this dude opened the contents of 71 and recorded the contents of 6. And so me being, you know, a shitty person, I'm seeing a guy that's going like, is this one got a skull worth selling? Nope. This one got a skull worth selling. Oh, shit. Save that one. But like right off the bat, the first fucking, they were having all these money problems. And then Rockefeller comes in and then like donates some money. And next thing you know, he's got some skulls to take back to the Americas. But this skull that I'm going to be talking about is supposedly one of the best ones that have ever been in the like hands of a museum. But again, they repatriated a long ass time ago. So,
where is this? Are these from Peru? Yeah.
Yeah. The one that I'm going to be covering in my next video is actually from Washington State. But
originally from there.
Yeah. There was a bunch of that. A bunch of there was a whole area up here near Portland, Oregon, that was covered in. Like there was not covered, but there was quite a few elongated skull people, but the majority of that shit was fucking like grabbed basically. By the time this area was getting heavily settled, they already had some some repatriation law, more museum stuff. Repatriation is the wrong thing. They had museum things where you couldn't just like tear up Native American stuff. So just like nowadays, a lot of times the builders would just be like, and tear up the Native American stuff just to get the project done. So testicle mummies. Yes, that's exactly what they are. Hidden Six is testicle mummies. I'm glad that you came in and took Lewis in. The internet's a beautiful place.
What do you think about that that thing that Rogan brought up to me, the things that Jesse Michaels is talking about, the ones in the tridactyl kind of alien, you may not have seen it, I hadn't seen it, the kind of weird like cast they have of these tridactyl alien mummies they found in South America somewhere. Have you seen that?
Yeah, I haven't seen the video about the most recent dives into it, but yeah, I've been following that for like the last year. It's been pretty interesting.
It's pretty weird, huh?
It's really weird. I'm glad they're finally getting some other scientists involved. Peru's been, well, like I was just saying, Peru's notorious for having problems with their archaeologists and stuff when it comes to this sort of thing. I mean, you know, that whole part of the world is even, but you know, like it's in Cusco, there's the underground tunnels that run back and forth underneath Cusco. It's a big old network of them, supposedly. Spoken about by the Spanish fucking 1530s or some shit. You could go there 50 years ago, pay a local $2, he'd run you all over the place. In 2023, I think it was, they finally accepted that the mainstream academia finally accepted that these existed. A guy talked about them in 2008, a scientist talked about doing ground penetrating radar and discovering them, but he had some goofy woo beliefs and they were like, nope. Yeah, goofy woo beliefs means your dad is suspect, means it's bullshit. And so this is where the academia is like, I'm a shitty person, but to me it seems quite clear that it's like those tunnels were looted to fuck by then, right? You had 500 years of unchecked looting going on there. So yeah, I think that at times these people are just facilitating that they're just like, you know, I mean, you got to eat, right? And if you're if you work in a country where the guy who's imagine the dude's face when Rockefeller comes and hands him $40,000 for these skulls. And he wasn't able, the last 6 years, he had $4,000 of funding to run his entire operation for 6 years. And Rockefeller gives him 10 times that amount for, it's like, dude, I mean, this, you know, tell me he didn't sell a couple more and buy a car. Fuck that. Right? You know, come on.
I mean, it's bizarre to think. I mean, not everyone, but if so many people knew they were there, then surely the kind of archaeologist responsible for the area would have known they were there. So then why would it take so long for them to announce that they had, you know, discovered the tunnels? I think wasn't it even more recent than that? I thought it was only like this year or something.
Yeah, I think maybe, I can't remember. It was very recent, yeah.
But everyone knew about them for yeah, there's people writing about them like in the 1900s and stuff. Like,
there's Brian Forrester has videos of him going in these tunnels.
Yeah,
it's exactly. Like fucking go, you, this is a perfect example of like the woo peddler on YouTube is actually dispensing better information than mainstream academia. And they say, oh, we catch up and we finally fix things and we get around to it. It's like, okay, but if you knee jerk, if the reason that you don't investigate the things is because you knee jerk to begin with, then you're not fucking doing science, man. You're treating this ideologically. And the example I use for this all the time, because we see it on YouTube, was when Mini Minuteman Milo Rossi, he did his video on the Baghdad Battery. Mm-hmm. And so he's like, he's got this wheel of archaeological shame. He spins the wheel. This is the one we're going to do. It's the Baghdad Battery. Well, the Baghdad Battery's on this wheel of archaeological shame. So obviously you've already decided that it can't be a real thing. And then he makes this video debunking it, and a real archaeologist comes along. He's like, hey, there, bitch tits, you got that all wrong. these things actually worked. And he had, well, okay, yeah. But then he's like, yeah, science, so we just correct ourselves. It's like, that's not science. This is a knee-jerk. This is no different than religion. You're just determining what things are going to be before you look. Then you look and find what you want. That's not science, bro.
Yeah, I mean, they just, if the wrong person says it or the wrong person kind of supports that, then they're all immediately kind of tribally opposed to it, because the people that they don't like and the people they think are, you know, pseudos are saying whatever they say has to be wrong in these kind of people's opinions. I mean, another great example of that is the trees at Göbekli Tepe, of course, which was just a completely legitimate thing to call out and has since been removed. But because it was, you know, the wrong people saying it, people like Jimmy, then they really didn't like it, and they didn't want to accept that. So it's sad, you know, when it becomes so tribal, I think, and because we all share an interest in, you know, ancient history and our deep past and the origins of civilization. And just because we disagree on like when it potentially could have started. And I just hate it when it comes to like, you know, all these horrible words and stuff, and, you know, people like Flint Dibble, people like that, just getting super nasty. I don't like that. But hey, maybe it's just human nature. But yeah, as you say, as long as the people on the alternative side are saying something, doesn't matter what it is, they're gonna go against that because they just don't want anything to be correct from that side of things, which is sad.
It is. I joked with Jimmy when he was talking about a year ago. He's talking about excavating Göbekli Tepe. He's complaining about how they've only done 5%, and there's no, and all the archaeologists are like, oh, this is stupid. We've got enough to dig. John Hoops said, you know, they could encase the site in concrete because we've got enough. As far as he's concerned, they could just build a visitor center like they do for the Lasso Caves. And it's like, I was joking about it, saying that, you know, Jimmy, if you just got on like once a month and would just be like, you know, they should excavate more at Rome. And you watch all the archaeologists go, oh, they've fucking done enough work at Rome. And you come back, oh, they should excavate more at Gobnongpadang. Oh, they've done enough work at Gobnongpadang. You do that for like a year, you could single-handedly like make archaeology obsolete. Every archaeologist on the internet would be like, we don't need to dig there. And what kind of bizarro fucking planet do we live on where the crazy Atlantis hunter is asking you guys to fucking dig in the ground and the archaeologists are going, nah, we're good. Yeah.
The wrong guy saying it, yeah.
And then the tree thing, that's the one that's even more hilarious to me, because Jimmy says we need to remove these trees. All the archaeologists on the internet, all the debunkers. David Miano is my favorite for that. Oh, the fucking trees are great. They're stopping erosion.
Yeah.
Now then the public pressure in Turkey gets them to remove the trees, to take the trees away. And now it's like, oh, but they were already planning on doing that. It was already in the pipe. Jimmy had nothing to do with this. And it's like, you guys are in a debate where a number of people say, you guys rewrite history. You lie about the past. And then you fucking get on Twitter where everything is like, everybody remembers it, they screenshot it, and then you fucking lie about what you said 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
Do you not see how this like feeds the other side? So, like, this guy, he would never lie about the past. He fucking lied about what he did yesterday. What the fuck you mean he wouldn't lie about the past? So yeah, to me, it's hilarious that they're so short-sighted.
I know, and I have never even interacted with any of these people yet. I'm blocked by all of them. I've literally never tweeted Mint Dibble or John Hoops or any. I've never made any kind of interaction with any of them, and I'm blocked by so many YouTube accounts, Twitter accounts, because I mean, just because of, I guess, who I am and what I talk about and what you know, team I'm supposedly on. So super weird, because you'd think they'd be open to, if they were so convinced that they had it right, they would be open to, you know, talking to someone like me, and I'd like to talk to someone like them, but they don't really seem open to that at all, which is strange.
It's really strange. It's part of their how do you put it? It's part of the way that they do this. They've got this weird problem in that they go around to a bunch of people who aren't doing anything that hurt anybody. And they attack us. They yell at like we're like they, you know, Graham Hancock's over there writing a book, and they go after Graham, and he's like, oh my God, he's fucking ruining science. And so they conflate it with like the SAA letter. One of the things they conflated it with was people's lack of trust in the medical community. It's like, we didn't just have COVID happen or anything where there was this big fucking debate raging for years. Oh no, we'll blame it on fucking Atlantis hunters. And then the racism thing. And in my mind, the reason for this is because they know they're going around and yelling at. I always use as a comparison somebody, if you've got a Halo fan that was going around to all the Call of Duty forums and just being like, fucking Call of Duty sucks, Halo rocks, Call of Duty sucks, Halo rocks, you would think that person was fucking weird. But if they say like, but yeah, but you know, the guys that play Call of Duty, they're all racists. They're all pseudo, you know, they're ruining the world. Well, now at least they've got some psychological justification. So they completely like turn us into the boogeyman in their head. Like we're our fucking public enemy number one. We're destroying society. by undermining faith in science. And it's like, all I got to do is just fucking pull up a lens, just be like, hey, look at Flint. Here's your scientist. This is really the fucking retard that you want representing you. Okay. If that's your science, man, I'd fucking count me out. That's not the scientific method, bro.
Yeah, it's bizarre that he's the kind of nominated spokesperson for mainstream archaeology. It's a bit weird. And maybe it's not even that. I think they're maybe just the loudest ones. They're just like a really loud minority that just, you know, want to make themselves heard as much as possible and like shitting on other people. And calling like Ancient Apocalypse the most dangerous show on television is just the most bizarre kind of claim to make, because it's literally just some guy speculating about, you know,
big rock history.
It's just like, what, how is that dangerous in any way? Like, it's just I don't know, they just don't like it and they just want to shut ideas down, which is weird. And I don't fuck with that, to be honest.
Oh yeah, that's I end up in quite a different spot there, because I don't really have like a pet hypothesis or really. My first video was correcting Milo Rossi and Stefan Milo on what they were getting wrong about their debunkings of Ancient Apocalypse. That's where the de-dunking is. You dunked on Graham and I'll undunk, right? And a lot of that, as I've done this more, it's like a lot of my followers don't like it, and I understand why. Because these guys, a lot of them are fucking worthless trolls. On the flip side, a lot of the people in our community are very, for lack of a better word, they're fucking spiritually new age hippie types. They're fucking, I miss me with that negative energy, bro. And that's fine. I get that. And especially guys like Graham, he's working on books and stuff. He's got constant fucking harassment from all kinds of people saying you're stupid, you're a fake, you're a fraud. But then the guys come on and say you're racist and you're fucking ruining society, all this stuff. It's like, dude. So yeah, I end up taking, arguing with those fuckers a little bit. Like the old saying goes, if you don't wrestle with the pig, because it just end up covered in shit and the pig enjoys it. Well, I am that pig. So I'm perfectly content trolling with the trolls and making it where it's like, you go after one of the hippies and I'll make you argue with me for a while. And usually, in all honesty, it was a cottage industry. It kind of still is, to debunk pseudoscience. In the earlier days, it was flat earth shit. You go after flat earth, you go after creationism. That gets old, because, you know, it's kind of shooting. I mean, flat earth, you're fucking shooting dead fish in a barrel. They don't even move. It's just, but eventually, you know, the guys doing that, they run out of a shtick, so they move on to something else, and they treat us like flat earthers, and, you know, they did that for a long time. You watch some of the debunkers, they don't even know what they're talking about. They'll even say it. Yeah, I don't know Graham's entire body of work. I'm just going to debunk this episode of Ancient Apocalypse. Okay, that's how we're going to do evolution. I don't know all the work of evolution. I'm just going to debunk what Darwin said in this section. It's like, fuck, that's not how this works, man. Come on.
Yeah, it's bizarre.
It's content.
Yeah, exactly. And he's portrayed in such like a negative light when you like Google him or anything. If you Google Graham Hancock, you're going to get his Wikipedia page, and it's just like all these words, all these buzzwords like pseudoscientists and shit like that. And, you know, if you actually read any of his work, like, he's not claiming anything as fact. He's just kind of positing possibilities and his interpretation of things that potentially haven't been examined in that way by, you know, archaeologists. And he's by no means claiming to have definitive proof of, you know, the civilization that he speaks of. He's just, you know, he's just asking questions, and everyone should be allowed to do that. Everyone should be allowed to speculate. Everyone should be allowed to, you know, think of different ways that human history may have gone, because at the end of the day, like, no one actually knows what happened deep in the past. No one knows what happened. No one knows kind of how civilization actually emerged or when it emerged. We're just making up, you know, theories. We're taking theories. We're taking limited evidence, and we're constructing that into theories. And I have no problem with the, you know, conventional interpretation of history as a theory. I think it's a perfectly solid theory, but I have a problem when people kind of proclaim that as, you know, undisputable fact and truth, because it's not that. It's a theory based on interpretation. And if you present it as such, then I have no problem with you. I'm like, yeah, fair enough. You can believe that. That's like a perfectly plausible theory of why we are who we are and how we got to where we are. But it's when they start defending it in this, you know, almost backed to the wall. Like, you cannot dispute any part of this because we know it's fact, and to say anything against this is anti-science. Like, I don't get that, and I have a real problem with that, especially when you start talking about things that are really old and we start getting deep into prehistory, because when you get that far back, like, really no one knows, and the amount of evidence is so small and it's such a tiny slither that we're creating these huge interpretations of, that it's it baffles me. It absolutely baffles me when people are determined that everything has been worked out and we've got it all sorted and you cannot dispute it because it is science. It's like, it's not science, it's interpretation. So yeah, it gets me a bit riled up, I think.
yeah, I can absolutely understand why. I mean, a lot of it is, you know, I'm not a Christian, a lot of it is clearly it's about the Bible and about, like, fighting against the biblical narrative, and a lot of, you know, science is weird that way, people are weird that way, you know. It's to me, even it's a funny little juxtaposition. I think psychology is a shitty soft science, but I also think it's like something you have to have a really good grasp on in order to understand anything, any other science in any sort of deep way, because it's always going through a human lens, it's always going through the lens of a bunch of people. And so, like, with archaeology, for example, that they know that they're off in the dark. They know that it's basically what they choose to believe quite frequently determines the thing I always like to invoke for that's the Sea Peoples. It's like, they accept that these letters are real. They accept that these battle sites corresponded to those letters. Ergo, they try to find these people. Oh, the must be the pulse. That those guys had to have been Sea Peoples. These guys had to have been Sea Peoples, but they don't know for sure. And they'll be the first to admit it. Push comes to shove. It's a framework that they built out of faith, and they know this. So when Graham comes along and writes his fiction, and they come along and write their fiction, and they're like, wait a minute, Graham's he's a journalist. Those are the wrong letters next to his name. How is his selling better than mine? It hits them in it's the same reason Eric Weinstein gets so much shit from physicists, because there's plenty of room to attach your ego to it. Nobody who's doing, like, a regular astronomy, there's not a whole lot of room to fucking argue about this stuff. So there's not a whole lot of academic debate. Ergo, there's not a lot of ego invested in it. More ego, more room you have for ego, the more room you have for these arguments.
Yeah. And yeah, at the end of the day, it is all just interpretation. Everyone's just interpreting evidence in their own way. And that, I feel, is the difference between the kind of conventional historians and some of them, to be fair, like, not everyone, but just kind of, as I say, a vocal minority, and people like Graham Hancock, because Hancock's just putting forward a theory that he's created based on his evidence. And he's not saying it's definitely true. He's just saying this could be true, you know, and I find it interesting, and that's fine. Like, I don't see why you should attack that. But yeah, on the opposing side are people saying that this is definitely true, and to oppose this is, you know, anti-science, and I don't get that at all.
Mark Young is down there. You know Mark Young from the Comet Research Group?
Yes, I do, yes.
Hey, Mark.
Oh, he's in the chat.
Yeah, he's in the chat. But yeah, it is. Yep, there he is. Oh, so you're a retard, he says. Yep, that's my boy Mark. You come right in yelling. There you go. I'm not sure if Graham talked about the carvings in Yonaguni. I don't think there is carvings in Yonaguni. I think Yonaguni is, excuse me, just stonework, and they're not even sure if it's human, if it's man-made or not. I don't think that there's actual carvings there that I'm aware of. There is a carving in, like, the Lake Michigan where they got that one weird stone down there. It's kind of cool. But yeah, when it comes to the way that these guys fight against it, like, I have nothing but respect for the, you know, we need people to come in and be skeptical and to say, hey, this is wrong, when things are wrong. And I got nothing but respect for that, but you can't knee jerk that. And you have to be honest about it. Like, again, to return to, like, covering the Baghdad battery, it's like, from a scientific perspective, there's no reason to talk about that if you're not going to be rigorous about the way you look at it. If you're just going to knee jerk and say, we know that this is the case because of X, Y, and Z, all you're doing is preaching to the choir, which is why these guys could say anything they wanted. That's one of the things that blew my mind, actually, when I first started making videos, was how much of the stuff that there was one video by Emperor Tiger Star that he took it down when I responded, and I only had like 800 subscribers. He covered the Fingerprints of the Gods, and he's like Einstein. Like Einstein wrote the foreword for Hapgood's book about Earth crust displacement theory. And he said, there's no way for that to happen because Einstein died 3 years before that. It's like, fucking just Google it. Einstein wrote it, corresponded with Hapgood for like a decade. A bunch of shit like that. He's like, I can't find proof that this guy existed besides his obituary. And it's like, his obituary gives you the leads to find the rest of his, it's like, but his video had hundreds of thousands of views. He made money on it. He made good money on it. So it didn't matter. You know, just, that's really... That's, in my mind, that's worse than the pseudoscientists, because when Graham gets out there and he says, hey, man, mainstream academics disagree with what I'm about to tell you. He's telling every skeptic, get on the internet, check, fact check me here, boys, because we're going off in the weeds. This is no longer mainstream science. We're off in Graham's land now. But when a scientist says, this is a scientific rigor, and then they just fucking knee jerk and just throw a bunch of smoke up your ass and bullshit that will... Dude, they're actually like, they're lying to you. They're flat out fucking lying and misrepresenting science. And which is really weird because a lot of these guys seem to treat science almost like a religion. So it's like you fucking, I oftentimes compare them to those Catholic priests that they like to shuffle around. It's like, you just defile what you're supposed to stand for, man. It's fucked up.
Yeah. Cause they're coming from a place of power because they have the kind of institutional or the credential backing behind them to when they make their claims. But you know, I mean, and obviously lots of what they say is correct, and but I think it should always be viewed with the caveat, everything should be viewed with the caveat from both sides, that no one really knows, especially the further back you go, and only one side seems to really give that caveat. But yeah, as you say, we need mainstream archaeologists and historians to both, you know, be skeptical of anything that people on the alternative side say, because, you know, we can't go on some crazy rabbit holes because, you know, because we could go anywhere. And also, but I feel like we need them to like, to kind of come on board, at least with some of the stuff that, you know, we're saying that I really think rings with some truth. We need kind of more, you know, credentialed academics to kind of put their head above the parapet, if you like, and say, you know what, I do kind of see some truth to this. I do see the argument here. I do want to kind of put my weight behind this and talk about these ideas, because, you know, the idea we have of history is such a rigid box, and you can't seem to break out of it without, you know, being cast aside by these academics. So yeah, I think we need more of the, you know, the professionals to look at the evidence that people are putting forward on YouTube and on podcasts and all over the place, writing books and stuff like that. And some of it is really serious stuff that I think does have big ramifications for how we view our story, how we view our history, how we view civilization and the origins of, you know, culture and human intelligence and all these kind of things. And until, you know, the mainstream, for want of a better word, take that more seriously, no change will happen. But I hope it does happen, and I hope they do kind of start to come on board, at least with some of these ideas, because that's what we need.
No, I completely agree with that. Now, there is one comment here that I think is extremely telling. What it was by Gideon. Science doesn't lie to you when it changes at me. But science doesn't lie to you when it changes. Now, see, this is what I mean by, in order to understand science, you have to have a good grip on psychology, because science isn't a thing. Science isn't an entity. Science is a way of thinking. It's a skeptical, as Sagan said, it's a tool. It's a way of thinking. It's not a body of knowledge, even. It's certainly not. It's a methodology, but it's only as good as its practitioners. So when you say science doesn't do X, Y, or Z, that's inaccurate. Humans do all of these things. Scientists are humans. Ergo, sometimes science will lie to you when it changes. It depends on the motherfucker dispensing the information. So I mean, I don't know what to tell you. This is where, to me, it's really funny because I am an atheist. I'm a very skeptical person. I in a lot of ways. So I mean, in other ways, I tend to think somewhat more, you know, you could say less. I'm less of an, I'm less cynical, I guess would be the best way of putting it. But I have a problem being hard and skeptical on things, but I do have a problem when we're just the way that they put scientists on this pedestal, it's like he's got the right letters next to his name, ergo he's going to do things right. It's like, no, dude, that's why I compare him to the Catholic priests that they shuffle around. It's like, you, just because he's a man of God doesn't mean you can trust him alone with your kid. Sorry. That's just not the fucking way that works, all right? And just because the dude's a scientist doesn't mean he's not going to sodomize your fucking information when he presents it to you. That's just, there's no two ways about it, buddy. Oh, boy, I just got demonetized. Oh, well. I'm
kidding. Yeah, but I mean, there's always been, like, paradigms throughout history that have, you know, been shifted. But there's always been people that vigorously, vehemently defended those paradigms and were wrong. And I don't see any reason why that isn't the case today, because what are the chances we've got everything worked out now? Because everyone's always thought that. Everyone's always thought in their modern day, because it's everyone's modern day when they're around, that everything is, you know, we've got everything figured out. But there's always another big shift around the corner. And it seems odd to me that we wouldn't, you know, be also, that wouldn't also apply to us. And there is another big paradigm shift around the corner. Now, I don't know what that is, obviously, but it could be this big question regarding our history or regarding our origins. And yeah, but there's always people defending it, and there always will be, and they will defend it to, you know, they'll die on that hill. But oh, that's just human nature, I think.
I think you're absolutely right there. Well, yeah, let's get ready to close this out. It's been almost an hour and a half, and at least we got half of the stream, I think, went where it's watchable for everybody. Nobody's saying, I can't handle this anymore. You guys suck. But so, yeah, you want to tell them where to find you at? We know on YouTube, obviously.
Yeah, I mean, YouTube is the main thing. Just search my name, Michael Button. I'm on X and Instagram as well, but hopefully I'd come up if you just search me. But yeah. Check me out, make videos about all this kind of stuff. Fascinated by it all. Give my two cents on there. So yeah, take a look if you're interested.
Yeah, it's they're skeptical too. They're not you know, and I don't have a problem with people that get way off into this, the speculation side of things, but you always, in my mind, you always just got to take the steps to get there. And so that's one of the things I like about your channel, is that you don't, like, you, every now and again you'll stretch it out a little, but then you roll it back and explain where you, and I appreciate it. It's a lot of your videos I end up like watching it and then going and checking out a few things afterwards, because it set my mind in a different direction. So yeah, it's definitely, if you haven't subscribed to him, check him out, guys. It's worth it.
Well, thank you, Dan. I really appreciate that. You're a legend in the game, so I'm really thankful for you having me on today. Thank you to everyone in the comments as well for the nice things that they're saying. So yeah, it's been an honor, and I've really enjoyed talking to you.
Awesome. Well, thanks again, Michael, and thank you, everyone. Thanks for moderating this mess there, Tammy. Oh, hey, big rolling home. See you, Mark. All right, everyone. Thank you very much. Take care, Nick. We'll talk to you guys later. All right, press this here button.